When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you all the big match reaction with views from the press box, the dugout, and the stands.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to the Liverpool Echoes Post Game Podcast with me, your host, Patrick Smith, after Darwin Nunez's stunning brace snatched all 3 points for Liverpool against Newcastle. A gutsy victory not to be underestimated. The 10 men of Liverpool have truly made a statement with this win after Virgil van Dijk was sent off for a clear denial of a goal-scoring opportunity against Alexander Isak, a decision which has sparked debate that will roar on into the week. There's plenty to react to though tonight, so let's get straight into it, with the Liverpool Echo's Paul Gorst, followed by Jurgen Klopp's press conference, and plenty of LFC fan reaction.
The Post-Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Substitute Darwin Nunez was 10-man Liverpool's hero as the Reds beat Newcastle United 2-1 in a game full of drama at St James's Park this afternoon. Virgil van Dijk, in just his third game as official full-time Liverpool captain, was dismissed before the half-hour mark with a foul on Alexander Isak. The Dutch captain was judged to have been the last man by referee John Brooks and was promptly sent off. Shortly before that, there was also controversy involving Trent Alexander-Arnold, who was booked for kicking the ball away in protest and not getting a foul against Anthony Gordon, and he exacted his revenge moments later. He was given a talking to by referee John Brooks, and perhaps was fortunate to stay on the pitch, but if he was fortunate to stay on the pitch, perhaps Van Dijk was unfortunate to be dismissed. The Liverpool number four and skipper was not happy whatsoever with the decision from John Brooks, and he will now sit out next week's visit from Aston Villa. And with Liverpool down to 10 men in a white hot atmosphere away at Champions League side Newcastle United, it felt like it was going to be a very long day for the 10 man of Liverpool. And to be fair, it was. They were made to dig in, work very hard, and essentially just stay in the game for as long as they could to see if they could potentially nick an equaliser. And Liverpool got into the break 1-0 down. And it was down to a couple of substitutions, in all honesty, that changed the game. Darwin Nunez will, of course, garner the headlines for that one. He came on and scored in the 81st minute, I believe, and then in stoppage time to steal it for the Reds. But before then, Diogo Jota and Harvey Elliott also came on, and Jota in particular was something of a catalyst, helping Liverpool get up the pitch, helping keep the ball a little bit better in the final third. And slowly but surely, the 10-man started to turn the screw. It was a wonderful finish from Nunez to flash it across Nick Pope to make it 1-1, and at the time it looked like Liverpool had maybe got out of jail with a late point, but they kept going and eventually stole it with another late winner, similar type of finish for Nunez, who looks to be a player who's a little bit cooler in front of goal than what we've seen in his first year at Anfield, and that's perhaps to be expected. He's looked sharp in pre-season, and when given his chance this afternoon, he took it with a plan. Jurgen Klopp was coy when asked if Nunez had played himself into the team for next week's visit from Aston Villa, but you'd have to say on this evidence Jurgen Klopp has five front men who were capable of hauling them over the line in any given game this season. In all honesty, there's still work to be done in the midfield for me, and certainly at the back. The Ibrahima Konate injured, Virgil van Dijk suspended, it looks like Joe Gomez is going to be partnering Joel Matip for that game. I asked Jurgen Klopp after the game if Matip's substitution later on for Jarrell Kwanzaa, who made his Premier League debut here, if that was down to an injury. He said that it was just down to fatigue more than anything, and the fact that Matip hasn't played a whole lot of football, certainly 90 minutes in recent months. So we should be fine for Aston Villa, but already with Liverpool naming the second choice defensive partnership, if you like, in Gomez and Matip, perhaps more is needed on that score before next week's transfer deadline. But perhaps it does a disservice to the players out there who got the win today to be talking too much about transfers today. There is work to be done. The midfielder for me, and certainly a centre-back, particularly given the fact that Liverpool had a British record fee for Moises Caicedo just over 2 weeks ago now, fourth through at 111 million. They've only added Wataru Endo for that since then at a cost of 16 million. So there is funds there we know of. So we'll see what happens on that score. Just a word on Endo. He started his first Liverpool start today since joining from Stuttgart last week. It wasn't a vintage performance for him. He will have better days. He will have less busier days, that's for sure. But difficult one for him in a new midfield alongside Szoboszlai and McAllister, who I thought was also quiet. But, you know, it seems a little bit unfair to dwell on the negative aspects of today. Liverpool showed immense character to get the win, fight back, and get a huge win against the team who finished above them last season. This is the only venue that they won at last season against last season's top six, and they've put down a little bit of a marker here again. So it's now 7 points from nine available. That includes away games against Chelsea and Newcastle. So you have to say it's an excellent start for Liverpool, in all honesty, and they now welcome Aston Villa to Anfield next week ahead of the international break. It's finished here. 10-man Liverpool have stolen it. They've won 2-1 against Newcastle in a game that I'm sure plenty of Reds fans will be watching back with much delight on Match of the Day on Sunday and for the rest of the week on the maybe the Sky Planner. So finished here at St James Park. Newcastle 1, Liverpool 2.
The Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, for today, absolutely everything. I think in my more than 1,000 games I coached or managed, whatever you want to say, I never had a game like this. That's the truth. Not that we never turned games, we did that, but with 10 men in an atmosphere like this against an opponent like this. No, I don't. Not only that, I can't remember, I'm pretty sure it never happened, because these moments are rare and super special. And but I thought the boys deserved it today, because with 10 men we played better and gave Newcastle a proper game. Before that it was a bit wild, with obvious advantages for Newcastle with the 1-0. We didn't play calm enough. We felt under pressure where wouldn't have to. In half time, we showed the boys one situation. There was an offensive situation where Trent passed the ball behind the line to Cody Gakpo, where he comes from the left wing into the right, from the right wing, where we can just get into their box and having finishing situations. Two things were clear in half time. We cannot concede a second. Oh, three things have to be clear. Trent cannot get another yellow card. We cannot concede a second. And if that happens, then we have a chance too. And that's what the boys obviously, yeah, they were ready to work super hard. And in the other moments they had, I think before Darwin scored, we had already chances, like the what I remember now is the Diogo pass to Mo, which is unfortunately, but we had our moments, so, and that's important. That's important. And a year ago we were in a similar situation. We were 2-0 up and then red card, and from that moment on we didn't play football anymore. So it's obviously difficult. It's not that easy, and I can imagine how Eddie and Newcastle is feeling now. But these things happen, but usually then anyway. But that didn't happen today, because my boys kept believing, and I'm really happy. with that.
Jürgen, obviously, Nunez gets all the headlines, but the game seemed to turn when Elliott and Jota came on. That's when he seemed to take the ascendancy.
The other boys just worked extremely hard, so that's super intense for so long, and then we thought we made the changes early to do that, and that's why, yeah, it's like that. Djoko is a top player. He was ill 2 days ago, so he might have started or not, who knows, but there's a top player coming on, and Harvey throws his heart on the pitch to help this team. So then after next change, he played even a double six when we brought Darwin. A position in a game like this, he didn't play often, we are pretty sure. You're right, Darwin gets the headlines, rightly so, because whatever we did before, if he's not doing that, we're sitting here playing a good game, losing 1-0 and going home with 0 points. It's just a completely different feeling. That's how it looked, actually, I think, pretty long. The Newcastle didn't get through, really, but we had, I think it was the Thiago Moore situation. But I think everybody in the stadium then thought, oops, we have to be careful there as well. Until then, it was just possession and we had our little moments. So, super special for us today, super special.
Has Nunez done enough to start the next game?
I never made the decision about the lineup a week before the game, we will see. But you can have worse arguments, I would say.
James.
Yeah, what did you say to Darwin when he came on, and what do you think that match-winning contribution could do for him going forward?
Definitely, but I said to Darwin has no influence on his performance. So it's Pat Linders can speak to him, and that's what he did. And I just give him a hug and encourage him to go out there and fight for the team. So that's it. But there's nothing else. Darwin was like, we had that before. He is not happy for not starting. So that's how it is. But somebody in this early stages of the season, somebody cannot start. We cannot have 11 players and play them all the time. So we need to find stability. The discussions just start too early. I don't know if the public discusses it, but of course, players are not happy. So after the national break, we play every 3 days. Nobody can play all the games. So we have to make sure that we have different options to go for. And we need to create a new way to play football. And of course, Darwin can be a super part of that. His key strengths are exceptional, absolutely, but we need to find stability as well. So for him, everything will be fine. It's just maybe it had to be like this. If he wouldn't have been that angry and start the game today, he wouldn't score in the last 6 minutes or whatever. So let's take it like that.
Can you describe your emotion, what you felt when that second goal went in?
No, nowadays I don't celebrate these goals too much anymore because I was not sure if there's penalty. Ach, no, sorry. Offside, oh yeah, again. Offside or whatever. So I was pretty sure it was no offside, but anyhow. Then a minute or so later, when I think VR check was over, the boys heard it on the touchline so behind me, and they were then really celebrating. And then I felt massive relief. How sad, halftime, the way we played after the red card gave us the feeling we can do something here. If we don't concede, stay calm, play, defend with passion, play with an idea. We have a chance to get a point here. And we have a point, obviously, and we're going to go to win as well, what the boys did.
Can you describe the spirit that you've got on this team anymore?
Sorry?
Can you describe the spirit that you've got on this team?
No, I don't know. We have to create a spirit. That's how it is. We are early. It's early in the season. It's the atmosphere, the understanding of the boys is super. We have top camps. That's all great. But the spirit is something different. So it's what you make of it. And of course, do I like that we have two games with 10 men? No. Probably Ibu Konate's injury is because we had 10 men against Bournemouth. That's the truth. So because it was then too intense. It's not a massive injury, but it's a little bit. And I will see what we had today. So 70 minutes in the Premier League. Did you hear a lot that leads to a turnaround in the game? I can't remember it. So, but big stories need key moments. And we will see. We will see what it is. I cannot sit here and think, okay, that's it now. And now we know how it goes. No, we are fresh. We have new key players in the team, and we have to create key moments. And this today was definitely a key moment, and that's why I'm pretty happy.
Thank you.
last couple of played then for Paul and then after that.
What was your take on the two early decisions, Trent Alexander-Arnold, not being sent off?
As an observation, just as not sending off. You wanted him. Yeah, you wanted him to get a sending off.
No, I wanted
him. Yeah, no. No, okay, that's observation. It's a foul on Trent Alexander-Arnold, which is not given. Clear in front of the Porterfield. Porterfield says to me, yes, it's a foul. Ref doesn't give it, and then Trent kicks the ball away. His fault, bam, yellow. Next situation is the thing, if you want a second yellow, if he gives it, he gives it. But I didn't think it is. You need to have this little space to keep a game going. Like, you take him off and take the center half off and then watch a curiosity of a football game. I'm not sure that how it should be. I don't think it's a red card. I don't think it's pretty much no contact, very little, and it's on the way to the ball. But what can I say? It's not. The decision is like this, and I cannot change it, and I don't want it. It's just, would I whistle a training game? Definitely not, but there are reasons why I'm not a ref, and they are.
Paul, last one. Paul?
Yeah, did Paul have Joel Massop towards the end there for Gerald Ponza? Is he injured at all?
No. He looked, the big man looked a bit tired. Let me say like this, long ago that the boys played, now it's full 90 minutes, these kind of things. Joey played obviously 70, and we have Kwanzaa. Yeah, it's great. He's a real talent. He's played two really good passes, super important passes, I would say. Defensively, then we needed luck a little bit. We were a bit too deep, a bit too passive, so they could shoot, but we had Ali. There were obviously, besides the results, a few nice stories, and bringing Kwanzaa on is one of them. Okay. Thank you very much.
See you.
Game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
An unbelievable result for Liverpool. One of the best from Klopp's tenure. There's absolutely no doubt about that. From all the achievements the manager's had, I think for Liverpool to come away from a game in which they spent the vast majority with 10 men away from home against such an opponent as Newcastle United, who for me, alongside Manchester City, were the best coached team in the Premier League last season. I felt that what Eddie Howe had done both on and off the ball in the way that Newcastle was set up was absolutely brilliant last season. And everything that Newcastle were last season, Liverpool weren't, disorganised in and out of possession. And I did fear coming into today's game, really, because I felt it was almost sort of a crossroads of one team who are totally convinced and have real conviction in what they're doing in every element of the game, and another team who have still looked like they are trying to find the best way to go forward in terms of building up from the back, in terms of progressing the ball from midfield, in terms of how they're going to pressure the ball without it. And I was concerned coming into today's fixture, and I was even more concerned, obviously, when after a start in which it was a pretty even game at the start, Newcastle had marginal control, Liverpool, again, having problems building up from the back under organised pressure, of which Newcastle's have been some of the best over the last year and a half, or especially over the last year. But ultimately, the game was being played out in a way in which it was competitive from both sides. And then we had a couple of incidents within the game. I think the first one with Trent Alexander-Arnold. I mean, how the referee doesn't give a free kick from Anthony Gordon's push on Alexander-Arnold is beyond me, really, especially when I look at the replay. However, the players are all aware of the guidelines, and Alexander-Arnold aware of them more than anyone, any other player in the Premier League. And to throw the ball away, you know what's coming after that, and it's a piece of ill discipline. Even though it was a poor decision from the referee, you simply can't react like that with the current guidelines. And so he ends up on a yellow card. Now, after that, another really poor decision from Alexander-Arnold, because for me, he should be off the field at that point. I mean, that is a stonewall second yellow card. Anthony Gordon's pushed the ball past Alexander-Arnold, who's impeded him. And Liverpool were very fortunate to get away from that situation in the end. Really poor decision. Alexander-Arnold just has to let him go at that moment once he's on a yellow card. And you did fear for the situation. Liverpool don't want to then take Alexander-Arnold off because he's the most creative player. You don't want him on the pitch as much as you possibly can. His percentage record of when he's in the team for Liverpool dictates that. However, on the other side, you're thinking to yourself, there's going to be scenarios in the game where he could be forced into 1v1 moments. And Klopp obviously took a calculated gamble to keep him on the field. But then worse was to come with Virgil van Dijk suffering a red card. At first, it looked like van Dijk had won the ball. However, when you see the replay, again, in the modern guidelines of football, although van Dijk's obviously come away with the ball, he's come through the opponent in order to be able to achieve that. And as soon as the referee made that decision, there was no doubt it wasn't going to be overturned. I mean, I think in normal time, if the referee doesn't give it, I think Liverpool have got a chance of getting away with that. However, once the decision's been made, you knew what the outcome was going to be. And, you know, there's a lot of conjecture around, well, is it a goal-scoring opportunity? It is a goal-scoring opportunity. I mean, this idea, I've seen Jamie Carragher on the TV talking about, well, we don't know if it was a goal-scoring opportunity because we didn't allow it to play out. Well, that's the nature of these kind of incidents. A lot of the time, they don't play out because of the interference of the defender. And you have to believe that with the trajectory of the ball, the weight on the ball, that Isak was going to be into a situation where he was in on the goalkeeper or at least be able to extract the shot at goal. So Liverpool were in all kinds of problems and were only saved from going in at half-time just 1-0 down by the goalkeeper again. I mean, what a piece of goalkeeping from Alisson that was to tip the ball onto the crossbar and then react to the second one. I think, you know, people, I couldn't believe the commentary on it in terms of no fuss being made of it. Yeah, it's in close proximity to his body, but the actual power and venom on the strike and his strong wrist to be able to turn it that way and then respond to the rebound, it just illustrated again, as did his performance all through the game and the assurance that he gave Liverpool. There was even a shot at the end from, I think it was Longstaff, and just the way he's able to shovel the ball, his body position just perfect. Other keepers, it bounces off and Liverpool are in a spot above it in terms of a rebound. But everything he does is absolutely world-class. And I've spoken before, I think we're looking at the best goalkeeper to ever play in the Premier League. And that is not me having my Liverpool cap on. It's a combination of evidence now on this particular player. And Liverpool were indebted to him again today. I think he faced the most shots he's ever faced in the Premier League in one particular game, which I suppose is to be expected. And then fast forward to the second half and all of a sudden, Liverpool started to almost withstand the storm of Newcastle and come into a bit of a situation where they ended up getting a little bit of possession, a little bit higher. I felt Harvey Elliott aided that by his retention of the ball because some of Liverpool's retention of the ball was unbelievably poor. I mean, that performance from Andy Robertson, I mean, listen, I know there's everyone will be on a high after the result, but there's got to be serious questions asked about that performance. I've never seen, in terms of the use of the football, he might as well have been playing for Newcastle United after game. But anyway, back onto the positive things. Liverpool did start to get a little bit higher on the pitch, be able to retain possession and get into a few areas which could have resulted in an opportunity. And obviously they sent on Darwin Nunez, who, two fantastic finishes. I mean, it's all right looking at it and thinking to yourself that he's in that right-hand side of the penalty area on his favoured foot. They're unbelievable finishes then. Real cool, real conviction. And this is a player who, he is a volume attacker, Darwin Nunez. He's the kind of player who Liverpool have to persevere with this player. They absolutely have to because he amasses so many decisive chances within the confines of the 18-yard box in the final third that Liverpool have to find a way to try and get the best out of this player and get him on the field and get an organised unit behind him which can just source him the ball and almost say to Nunez, keep away from the game. We don't want you to drop short. We don't want you to get involved in any of the link-up play. We want you to play on the shoulder of the last man in between the two centre-halves and look to cause real concern in terms of making them runs in and amongst that 18-yard box. And if you do that, the numbers suggest that this player is going to amass more and more chances. I mean, don't forget, he is amassing these chances. And I believe that he's the player in terms of 90 minutes who has got the most shots per game within the Premier League. And I think quite close to being top of the European leagues as well. And when you consider how poor Liverpool were last season and how bored they've been and how disorganised they've been, both in and out of possession, for them to be amassing that kind of volume in them kind of circumstances in his first season at the club, that tells me that if Liverpool can organise themselves and get to a situation in which they get to, again, being one of the most organised team, but with and without the ball in the Premier League, one of the most organised in terms of building the game from the back, playing through midfield, and then final third entries, then you have to believe that he is just going to be an absolute hoover in that final third. And the one thing we know, the numbers can be a bit distorted with Nunes, because as much as he was so low in terms of the chance percentage that he actually took last season for the amount that he amassed, if you look at Benfica, I think he was, the season before last, I think he was top in Europe in terms of the actual percentages that he actually executed and the goals he scored per chance. So it shows there's a great deal of variance there. But the more confidence you give him, the more belief that he gets. And also, I massively believe that the system that Liverpool are currently occupying would favour him, because when you think that in a normal 4-3-3 in Liverpool's default formation, you're going to see a player like Darwin Nunes dropping in, linking the play like Firmino used to, that is not what you want him doing. In fact, he's incapable of performing that role. So by playing a system that Liverpool have been using of late in possession of a 3-4-3, what that allows you to get is two central midfield players, higher central midfield players, and then two 10 positions to be able to drop in into the areas that the old 9.5 in Firmino would have. That means that space is taken and doesn't need to be a position where the centre-forward has to lurk. The centre-forward can then play on the shoulder of the last man, keep away from the ball, safe in the knowledge that there's going to be enough creation and enough spaces filled in them at number 10 occupying roles to be able to allow Liverpool to transfer the ball from midfield into the attack. And that is why I believe that it's massively set up for them to thrive within the system. Now, today, after Alexander-Arnold's brush with a second yellow card, it was interesting actually, because Liverpool actually started in a 3-4-3 shape, but then after that incident went back to a 4-3-3, and then obviously after that Liverpool are then into a default sort of 10-man system in which they're playing everyone behind the ball basically, but Mohamed Salah plays as the highest player. So it's hard to judge a lot of how Liverpool have been in these early parts of the season, in the fact that they've played away at Chelsea and they've played the vast majority of two games with 10 men, or at least a high percentage majority. But Liverpool have to persevere with the system, and they have to get Darwin Nunes integrated into it in the long term, because he is going to be absolutely key. And if he was to go anywhere else, this is the kind of player who could blow up with the right service. And Liverpool need to be the team to be able to extract that out of him. There's been a lot said about the system and people having doubts. For me, you have to persevere. Liverpool, I think they're averaging 2.4 points per game within the system. And Liverpool, and you know, a lot that's said about, well, what about the right-hand side? It's vacated too often by Alexander-Arnold. I'll go into this in more detail on a different podcast. But Alexander-Arnold vacated that anyway by playing higher and having to defend in transition when he played on the right-hand side. So it's no different, just the angles potentially where them cover and support players are. So yeah, absolutely magnificent result for Liverpool. One of the best of Klopp's tenure. And I'm really pleased for Darwin Nunes. And I really want to see Liverpool get to a point where they incorporate him and he can really thrive.
Steve Dawson on Liverpool's 2-1 win at Newcastle. And I did think I was going to give a few comments with a slightly different tone than the one I'm going to give. It started off so badly again, didn't it? I mean, we're just not starting games well. I certainly made that point last time, and it was there for all to see last season. It's a trend that we need to get rid of. It was a horrible first 25 minutes for Trent. The yellow card, concerns that he'd get a second yellow, although that wasn't justified on reflection, certainly. And then the goal that he conceded, you know, a poor first touch, and player was clean through. There's no way he was going to catch him, and we were down. And then the game took another bad turn for us. VVD getting sent off. There's going to be lots of discussion on this, but I think it was the right decision. In fact, I firmly believe it. He did ultimately get the ball, but in doing so, he took the player's legs away first with his follow through. He got the ball, and he was it was a last man challenge. So referee really had no alternative. And actually, I think you have to say you know, the referee made a great on-field decision. It would have been one thing if he just left it to VAR to send him off, but to make that decision in the moment was a very brave one on the referee's part. And in what has been a bad week for referees and VAR, I think he's probably done himself and his colleagues a few favours there with that decision. It was the right decision, in my view. Then we needed to adjust, didn't we? And it was such a shame, although I'm not saying it was incorrect, but it's such a shame to take Diaz off because he'd started to look so dangerous when he comes in from the inside. You know, that ball was played out to him just a few moments earlier and he had space ahead of him and he just ran at three players. It took three players to focus on him, and he wasn't far away with his shot. So that was a double blow, really, that we'd gone down to 10 men, lost our captain, or triple blow, I suppose, because then we also had to get rid of Diaz. I thought generally, though, the subs were good. I'll include in that that Jürgen was brave enough to take Joel Matip off. That was not probably a substitution that he made easily, but Matip didn't play well. He gave the ball away noticeably at least a couple of times, missed an interception. He was certainly the weak link in the chain at the back there. And I also thought, once we started making subs, when we took Diaz off, I thought, well, if we're going to start changing the front line because of what's happened in our back line, in other words, losing Virgil, I did think to myself, well, Nunez would provide a somewhat muscular threat if we're only going to play two up front, which we did for much of the time after the sending off. I thought Nunez would be a good option. That went through my head, and I was a bit surprised that we didn't see him introduced earlier than when he actually did come on. But it turns out he did. And that was certainly, of course, the turning point as it turned out. But I do think also a sizable turning point was Botman getting injured and having to be withdrawn. He made a super challenge on Mo Salah, and then another one slightly later on. So I think that was a big loss for Newcastle. When Nunez came on, though, I've said before, I'm not entirely convinced by him, and I know people will be laughing at that comment now, but you know, the very first touch he had, a ball came over the top, not an easy one to control by any means, but you'd expect Mo Salah to put a feather-like toe on it and bring the ball under control. Nunez couldn't manage that. The ball fell behind him after his touch and the move broke down. Then he made a poor return ball. I think he was looking for Jota, was he? And that didn't work out. So his first two touches were unsuccessful. And, you know, I'm critical of his decision making, and just small things go wrong for him, even though he does cause chaos and cause panic. But then, my goodness me, the first goal in particular was such a good finish. He didn't have a lot of daylight to look at when aiming for that far post. He then made a really good reverse pass to Diogo Jota, and you know, Jota could well have scored from that, and then he would have been, you know, hero enough to have scored the goal and got the assist, but Jota couldn't put it away. But then to score the second goal, which wasn't too dissimilar from the first, was it? I mean, I was on my feet jumping all over the house. That was a sight to behold. Jürgen giving us the triple punch at the end was really nice to see. We haven't seen that with such gusto for quite a long time. Great celebrations on the field afterwards. And sometimes it's victories like that, often sparked by going down to 10 men, that turn things around for teams in a season. And it's very early days, of course, but this is a result that will only do us good in terms of morale. And what's been a disappointing transfer window, not yet over, of course, it could in some way be improved, but what's generally been a disappointing transfer window up to now could be put behind us. I thought Endo played a solid game when he was on the field. I think it was the right move to take him off and put McAllister in that position, because McAllister can play, of course, that number six role. We've seen him do it already for Liverpool, but he's more likely to get the ball forward, and we were a goal down. We needed to put the ball forward, so I think that was a sensible decision. But Endo looks a good player, doesn't he? And I have renewed buoyancy in my hopes for Liverpool's season. Fantastic. At Gulasahi on Twitter, GulaSahi.
You've been listening to the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.